Good morning.
Good morning.
That was a loud response. Very warm welcome to you all, and also to those who are listening at home, and especially our friends at Carr's Court. There will be coffee served at the end, and a very warm welcome to Sylvia Cowling, who is leading our service, and it begins with an introit from the choir.
John, wired for sound. Yes, good. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." We will be looking at what those words might mean for us today during our worship, and also looking at an Old Testament story where something very similar was said. Let's begin our worship with hymn number 340, Ye Servants of God, 340. Now let us bring our thanks to God for all that he does for us, and then pause to consider how we might not always have honoured him as we should. Let us pray. Generous God, as we get on with our lives, sometimes we forget the part that you play in it. So we pause now to thank you for all that is good in our lives. We thank you for our homes, our family, friends, colleagues, neighbours, for all the care and support they give us. We thank you for all that we enjoy in life, for we know that it is your gift. In the silence, let us just think about this past week, the people we've seen, the places we've been, the tricky things and the difficult conversations that, thanks to you, have been navigated. The things that have made us happy. The ways in which we have brought joy to other people. Let us pause and remember them and thank God. Thank you, Lord, for being with us in all the changing scenes of life, the good times and the not so good. Thank you that even when we have been passing through doubt, fear, despair, we have not been alone, for we see now that you have been with us. We thank you that we are yours. We have been made in your image, created for your glory, called by you, by name. Through Jesus Christ, you give us new hope, new purpose, new life. You will never let us go. Thank you, loving God. And God, you invite us to set out on our great journey of faith with you. But there are times when we know we don't listen to you. We convince ourselves that it's not us you're seeking. We're too insignificant to serve your great purpose. We fail to believe that you could possibly want to work with us. So we put our discipleship aside. When we have closed our ears to your call, not heard your invitation to speak and act in your name, forgive us. And help us to begin again. When we have kept our faith private, secret, been unwilling to share it, forgive us and cause your love to burn within us. When we have not bothered to apply our minds to understanding your words and ways and carried on under our own steam, forgive us. Make us aware of your constant presence. When we have chosen to remain at a comfortable stage of our faith and become unwilling to tackle challenges, forgive us and give us courage to continue our journey with you. Merciful God, because your Son died for us and was raised by you, we can know your forgiveness. In our gratitude for your amazing and unconditional love, we would listen. We would believe. And we would continue our journey with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The hymn number 424. God forgave my sin. 424. Put our Old Testament reading in context, Elijah has just triumphed over the priests of the god Baal, for he was able to demonstrate to them that the god he worshipped was the one true God. And now it's what comes after.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, Verses 1 to 8. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Amen.
I don't do kitchens if I can help it. I'm not very good with food. Good at eating it, but not so good at preparing it. I just about managed to get by with my own family. They're used to me. But let me tell you, anyone who comes to our house for a meal comes for the company rather than the food, because that can be very variable. Thankfully, there's nothing in the Bible about being good in kitchens. But there is a lot about food, of course. Throughout the scriptures, food is a recurring theme. After all, it is our sustenance. In the Old Testament alone, there's Adam and Eve, the episode in the Garden of Eden, of course. There's the Passover meal, as the Israelites escape bondage in Egypt. You recall that God provides manna for them in the wilderness. And then there's the food given to Elijah. There are many other instances too, but in so many cases, the food is food for the journey. For the Israelites, it was food to sustain them on their way to the promised land. For Elijah, it is food to keep him going as he flees Jezebel. Elijah is provided with food by a kind angel who tells him, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." Food for the journey. Elijah was one of the first of the great prophets, a prophet to the nation of Israel. Elijah is on a journey in more ways than one. He's fleeing from Queen Jezebel, so an actual physical journey. And he's on a spiritual journey too. A journey that has already led him to confrontation with the prophets of Baal, the god of Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab. Elijah, we heard, has earned her hatred. She wishes him dead, and so he flees from the city of Jezreel off to Beersheba. And then he goes out into the wilderness, a day's walk, we're told, comes to the solitary broom tree, sits under it, and asks God that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." He falls asleep under the tree. And in the night, something happens. An answer to his prayer, but not the answer he perhaps was expecting, given that he wanted his life to end. Just the opposite. The angel comes and offers him sustenance. A cake of bread on hot stones, and a jug of water near at hand. He eats and lies down again, and then a second time the angel comes, touches him once more and says, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He does as the angel says, and then we heard that he goes to the mountain of God, the place sometimes called Mount Sinai. And there he spends the night in a cave. And as you will recall, other amazing things happen to Elijah while he is on the mountain of God. God sends him a message of hope for his own life and for the nation. And he's given a disciple, someone who will keep him company, help him on his journey, and at last take Elijah's place as prophet over Israel. That's the young Elisha, of course. And all these things follow the angel's word to Elijah, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." Food for the journey indeed. But Jesus, we know, had something to say about food as well. And it's not dissimilar. But first let's sing hymn number 153, "Break Thou the Bread of Life, Lord, to Me." 153. Our gospel reading comes shortly after Jesus has fed the 5,000 in John's gospel. He's over the other side of Lake Galilee when this occurs the following day.
The Gospel is taken from John chapter 6, and we read verse 35 and then 41 to 50. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever cometh to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written by the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God, who has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes that eternal life, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh."
Bread has different connotations today for some people, especially among the wealthier nations, than it had in Bible times. Bread has become trendy. All sorts of different kinds of bread are available today. You perhaps have artisan bakers here in Wilmslow. I've heard that it helps sell your house if you make sure you have the smell of fresh bread wafting through the rooms. Bread for some of us is no longer simply a basic food. But at the time of Jesus, it certainly was. It was basic to the diet. And of course, it still is in many parts of the world today. Remember the boy who offered Jesus his very basic packed lunch of barley loaves, the bread of poor people, along with two fish to feed 5,000 people who'd gathered the other side of the lake to listen to Jesus. Bread wasn't a fashionable commodity then. It was an essential part of people's diet. And just as our perception of bread itself may have changed, so our perception of bread as food for the journey may have changed. Because many of us perhaps don't journey far each day. Go to work, to the shops, to church, social gatherings. Hardly intrepid journeys such as Elijah's, where you might indeed want to take food with you for the journey. But then these days, we're getting used to hearing about journeys which may not involve any sort of actual physical travel. My son reckons that when interviewed, all the contestants on TV talent shows, without exception, reckon to be on a journey. I'm on a journey, they say. By which, well, I was going to say what I think they might mean, but I'm really not sure what they mean. But it might mean they're having lots of different experiences and learning a lot from them. And maybe they're not too far wrong. For we're all on that metaphorical journey. Certainly we're on a journey as Christians. Hopefully journeying towards a deeper, more enriching faith as we go through life with our Lord and Saviour. And Jesus more than once talks about the food we need for the journey to survive and to nourish us. We need, he says, the bread of life. So what is it, this food for our journey through life? It's not warm cake and cool water, such as Elijah was given by the friendly angel. Remember, that angel said, additionally, get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you. And those words used by the angel are so relevant. Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you. Jesus knew that to be the case for those who would follow him. And so in our gospel reading today, he offers this. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty and never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The food that is the bread of life is, of course, Jesus himself, the Son, sent by the Father. His food is to do the will of the one who sent him. And he knows the Father as no one else, because of that unique relationship with him. And these are the characteristics that make Jesus the bread of life for us, offering us a quality of life which nobody and nothing else can offer us, because Jesus is the Son of God, who lived as one of us, who showed us what real life is all about. He taught, he healed, he befriended, he listened, he loved, he wept, and he gave his life for us, for our wrongdoing, that we might know forgiveness, and through his resurrection experience eternal life. That's the bread of life for us, our food for the journey. And so, of course, that food is made available to us. It can be found within us, yes, and all around us. Here among the body of Christ, for example. It is in the people who sit in front of you, behind you, beside you. People who have faith. People who know the story of Jesus and who know where God is to be found. We are surrounded by the bread of life. And it feeds us on our journey through life. Just as bread was the staple food as far as those listening to Jesus were concerned, so God can be found in the ordinary things of life. the daily miracles that we take so much for granted, the rising and setting of the sun, the changes of the seasons, the air we breathe, the crying of a baby, the laughter of a child, the care of a loved one, the sharing of a simple meal, the people around us are the bread of life to us. It's no secret. God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, offers food for the journey to all who would avail themselves of it, simply by believing in him and accepting him. And it's in the people around us, and in what we see around us every day, the things and the people we take for granted, that are manifestations of the bread of life. But there's more. Sometimes we who believe in Jesus know that our journey can become difficult, lonely. Like Elijah, we can be at our wit's end because the journey through life can take us through some dangerous and seemingly insoluble situations. A desolate wilderness for us too sometimes. How are we going to survive, to have the strength to go through those barren places? The places where we feel alone because of death, the end of a relationship, illness, financial problems, and so on. Well, as with Elijah, the food for the journey is still available, but as Elijah, we may not be in a state to find it, to recognize it as sustenance that we need, just at the time when we do desperately need it. But we can be sustained through those times. The bread of life has not gone rotten within us. The bread of life is still there. It's still available. We can find it sometimes through the scriptures that spur us on. Sometimes through our prayer times, when we may feel inspired. Or it may be in those grim times that come to us that we are given the bread of life by other people, just as the angel fed Elijah. In those times, through kindness is shown, encouragement given, we are fed. We may be prayed for by other people when we cannot pray for ourselves, but only cry out to God in our need, our despair, much as Elijah did. In our communion service, when we take the bread, we are told that we are sharing in the body of Christ. The bread of life is to be shared, so that when others are struggling in their lives, it is for us to bring that bread of life to them at that time, to enable them, like Elijah, to rise up and sustained continue their journey. Jesus also said, "Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." Eternal life begins here and now. So just like the talent show contestants, we're on a journey, yes, but this journey is the beginning of eternal life. A life lived with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, by the grace of his Holy Spirit. Our food on our journey is the bread of life, Jesus himself, who shares his body with us in our ordinary, everyday lives, in good times and the not so good times, who calls us to share that bread of life with our fellow travellers so that all can be sustained, so that all can, as the angel said to Elijah, get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you. Praise God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Amen. We sing hymn number 663. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. 663.
I will say.
And so we come to the time when we pray for others and ourselves. There is a response. When I say the words, Lord, in your mercy, will you respond with, hear our prayer? Let us pray. Loving God, the world needs the bread of life. And so we bring to you our prayers that the world may become more caring, more compassionate. We pray for your church, that different denominations may work closely together to be a more effective witness to your Son and his message of love, justice, and peace. We pray for our church here, that we may be vibrant witnesses in this community to the faith we hold dear. And help us always to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in the way we live our lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for the leaders across the world. Give them courage not to be beholden to the most powerful, but to work for the good of all people, and particularly those who have no voice. Where people are oppressed because of their race, their poverty, their faith, we pray for enlightened leaders to emerge, to bring about a more cohesive and tolerant society, one in which people are free to flourish and reach their potential. We pray that we, who live in such comparative freedom, may use our talents, our skill, and our courage to stand up for those who are so much less fortunate than we are. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those burdened with sickness, anxiety, guilt, or sorrow. Life is not without its pain, and we know from our own experiences how it consumes us. And so we bring to you, Lord, those who are struggling just now. There are some for whom we are particularly concerned, and so in the silence, we bring them to you. We pray for wholeness for these people. and that others, including we ourselves, may stay close to them however we can and in whatever way brings them comfort. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Loving God, we pray for ourselves. We come to worship you, knowing that you are the bread of life. We come to hear your word, which can change us, inspire us, so galvanize us in our faith, that we may be constantly centered on you in our lives, and that we may always believe that you can and you will use us to share the bread in our daily lives with other people. Lord, in your mercy, in the name of the bread of life, amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Your gifts for the work of God will be received. Gifts and our lives from us to you, God, with love. Amen. The hymn number 465, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, 465.
Thank you.
our loving God. We have sung your praises. We have talked to you in our prayers. We have listened to the words of our Saviour, the bread of life. We have heard how meaningful they are for us. And so now, send us out on our journey in the power of your Spirit to be your disciples in our community. And let us share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.